and welcome to this Lighthouse Church podcast, where you can catch up on our talks from Sunday gatherings. We're a church at East Lothian, seeking to follow Jesus, build community, and make a difference.
Thank you, Tom. Good morning. Morning. In fact, just give you a few moments. Some people won't like this, but turn to the person next to you. You can say hi if you have not said hi to them already. If you are, then just say hi again. Give them a hug. Whatever you want to do, make them as uncomfortable as possible. Okay. So, it's great to be here this morning. And shorts and t-shirt, I think summer's already arrived in Scotland, and this is what it's going to be like for the rest of the next 6 months, I believe. All right. So, today, hopefully on the screen, should just be the title of what we're going to be looking at today. But we're going to be continuing the series of looking on the book of James, and we're going to see from on the screen. Oh, if we go back, Jane, there we go. Taming of the tongue, or the power of words. This morning, as we were gathering, just a few of us as leaders just praying for this morning, I joked with Hannah. And I said, oh, I can see why Hannah's given this one to me, the whole taming of the tongue. And do you know what? She didn't laugh. She didn't comment. She just continued eating a chocolate biscuit and just kind of ignored me. So maybe there's a lot of truth in what why she gave me this one today. Maybe there's a lot I need to learn from this. And hopefully, like anything in God's Word, the Bible, there is always things that we can take home with us today. It's applicable. It's things about in the Bible that encourage us, that may provoke us and challenge us. These are things and opportunities today that I want to just stir our hearts as I just share God's word with you this morning. Are you ready to be on a journey about taming the tongue? Yeah, I can see lots of guilty faces right now, everyone kind of dreading what's going to be said. Seriously, this is something that, you know, for me, I always take away from preparation, just thinking about what is God saying to me personally. And my prayer for you today is that that will be the same. Okay, so the book of James is a letter written by Jesus' half-brother, Norman. It's James. There's a bit of a clue in the title. He was writing to Jewish Christians who were scattered everywhere outside of Israel. All right, and James, if you get to read this letter, it's very direct. He doesn't kind of like drag out the passage. He gets straight to the point, straight to the heart. And that's really what we're going to pick up on today. We're going to, on the screen, you're going to be able to follow. If you've got your Bibles, you've got your phones, whatever way that you find helpful to follow. This is James chapter 3, verse 1 to 12. Okay. So not many of you should become teachers, my fellow believers, because you know that we who teach will be judged more strictly. Ouch. We all stumble in many ways. Anyone who is never at fault in what they say is perfect, able to keep their whole body in check. Who's here perfect this morning? Okay. When we put bits in the mouths of horses to make them obey us, we can turn the whole animal. Or take ships in an example. Although they are large and are driven by strong winds, they are steered by a very small rudder wherever the pilot wants to go. Likewise, the tongue is a small part of the body, but it makes great boasts. Consider what a great forest is set on fire by a small spark. The tongue also is a fire, a world of evil among the parts of the body. It corrupts the whole body, sets a whole course on one's life on fire, and is itself set on fire by hell. All kinds of animals, birds, reptiles, and sea creatures are being tamed and have been tamed by mankind. But no human being can tame the tongue. It is a restless evil, full of deadly poison. He's such an encourager, isn't he? With the tongue, we praise our Lord and Father, and with it, we curse human beings who have been made in God's likeness. Out the same mouth come praise and cursing. My brothers and sisters, this should not be. Can both fresh water and salt water flow from the same spring? My brothers and sisters, can a fig tree bear olives or a grapevine bear figs? Neither can a salt spring produce fresh water. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you for your truth, and we thank you that you are with us right now. Thank you, Lord Jesus, that you're the one that reigns in our hearts. And I just want to pray for each and every person in this room that may not yet know you, that, Lord Jesus, you will speak into their hearts this morning too. Jesus, as a community, we just want to say we love you and we thank you that you're the one that we put our lives into. So I just pray, Holy Spirit, just come upon each one of us right now. Thank you, Lord Father. Amen. So Jesus, in this part, James in this part of the letter, is really laboring the point by giving us six metaphors about the tongue. Okay, this passage easily applies to all of us. Why? Because we all have what? A tongue. We know the tongue has a number of amazing roles. Your tongue was created to taste, speak, it helps swallow, and it helps obviously then with chewing. The human tongue is a marvel of muscle and sensation. It's composed of 8 muscles, houses between 3,000 to 10,000 taste buds, and has a unique imprint like a fingerprint. The tongue is the only muscle in the body that functions without skeletal support. And for some of us, we can curl our tongue. In fact, can you do that? And everyone's now trying. I love the faces. I should get the camera out. But actually, some people can't. It's apparently the kind of the thing goes around that it's apparently the lack of a gene. And I looked that up the other day. But according to Google, it's not that. All right. So whatever. All right. So the fact is, the tongue is an amazing creation by God. Okay, like the rest of the human body. But with regards to speech, yes, the tongue is a small organ in your body, yet it's powerful. Its influence for good or bad is out of proportion for its size. And I want us to just delve a bit deeper with a couple of the examples that James gives us in chapter 3. Okay, so Jane on the next slide, hopefully should be the horse and the rudder, thank you. Now, when I was reading it, kind of when you read scripture and you just kind of glaze over it, I'd never really thought about horses' bits, okay? It was a kind of thing that I thought, oh, I need to Google what the image of it actually looks like. And as you can see on the image on the top left-hand screen, it's that kind of the bar that goes in the mouth, okay? And so the bits are put into the mouth of the horse to make them obey the rider. They can turn the whole animal. And likewise with ships, although they are very, very large, okay, they are driven, obviously written in those days by James, they were driven by strong winds, they are steered by a very small rudder wherever the pilots want to go. Okay, so if a small bit in the mouth controls a strong horse and a small rudder turns a large ship, even so, if we have control over our tongue, it is an indication that we have control over our whole self. Whoever can control the tongue can control the whole body. Easier said than done, yeah? So the bit and the rudder are small, but they're extremely important. If they don't control the entire horse, it is out of control. And likewise, if the entire ship is out of control if the rudder isn't working. It is possible for something as small as the tongue to have tremendous power over good or evil. And you don't solve the problem of an unruly horse by keeping it in the stable, or the problem of a hard-to-steer ship by keeping it in the harbour. And in the same way, even a vow of silence, which I think would be impossible for me, is not the ultimate answer for the misuse of the tongue. Are you still with me? So if a tongue is like a bit in the mouth of a horse, or like the rudder on a ship, it leaves us with this question. Who or what holds the reins, or who or what directs the rudder? So some people have no hand on the reins or rudder, and therefore say whatever comes to mind. And I'm sure as I say that, you can picture either some friends or family members that are like that. Yeah? You just know someone says something in the room, and you think, oh my goodness, here comes my auntie. Boom, she's going to say something. Or yet there are others that do the opposite, where they bottle it up and keep silent, yet it comes out in an unhealthy way and in another way. But there is a third way. And the third way is what James points us towards. It's having the Spirit of God working through us, directing us, and being like the reins and the rudder that is our tongue. It's about relying on the presence of God to give us self-control. And there's obviously a very well-known verse, if you know your Bible a little bit, that we'll come onto a little bit later on. So it's about this control, controlling this very small organ in your body. So that's just kind of the two pictures, the first ones that James gives. Then there's the next one, which is the forest. Okay? It says in verse 5, consider what a great forest is set on fire by a small spark. And so the tongue is also a fire. It corrupts the whole body, sets a whole course on one's life on fire, and we know this can be devastating. And you think about kind of forest fires, they just can start either by lightning or by a spark or by a match or I think in America a few years ago, a failed gender reveal that set off a huge wildfire. In recent months, we've seen what devastations happened on the in the United States with wildfires. And I think even just this week, there's been in the news about South Korea. Okay? It would have started with a small spark, a small flame. Huge wildfires don't just suddenly appear. It starts small, and it's like the tongue is a fire, one that can be so destructive. The fire of the tongue has been used to hurt so many. Children are told, and if you remember this maybe in the playground, sticks and stones may break my bones, but words can never hurt me. But that saying is totally untrue. It's a lie. The bitter pain of a word spoken against us can hurt us for a lifetime, long after a broken bone is healed. One way we can illustrate this, and we're not going to get you to discourage one another, all right, is just think back to your old school days, all right? Some of you have to go a lot further back, all right? But the best illustration is, can you think of the best teacher you ever had, whether it's at primary or high school or even like a university lecturer or whatever? Has everyone got someone locked in? Okay. Now just ask a question to yourself. What was it that made them the best teacher? I'm really testing some of you now, aren't I? I'm sure one of the reasons that you would come up with would be the fact that they encouraged you. They did something to show the fact that I'm for you. Yeah? Now, using that same kind of example, I don't want us to delve too deep with this one, but we're going to go and look at the other. Can you think of a teacher that you did not get on with? One that you didn't enjoy going to lesson? Even the fact that you might go and hide in the toilets to avoid the lesson? And where the best teacher was probably one that encouraged you, probably the teacher that you didn't get on with at all was because the way they may have spoken to you, the way they discouraged you. The fact that maths is not my, in fact, was my worst lesson, okay? And I can remember a maths teacher that didn't have the time to want to show how to work out the maths. And so you felt discouraged and you felt scared to even go and ask the teacher, okay? I also misbehaved in the class, but that's another matter. But the fact is, we know that's just a very easy example of what can happen when people put courage in you. It builds your confidence. It does you good. So this whole ridiculous rhyme of sticks and stones, and that's a complete and utter lie. The fact is, each one of us needs to be fed with encouragement. And I've seen and spoken to many people over the years that say, I don't need much encouragement in my life. That's a lie. Yes, you do. We need people that will feed us. So ensure that get alongside people that are going to help build you up. And likewise, you do the same for others, is how you can help build others up as well. So in those former illustrations of the horse and the ships are controlled by small objects, in this illustration, a forest is destroyed by a tiny spark. So the tongue, likewise, can either be controlled or it can destroy, okay? So what others say to us and what we say to others can last a long time for good or for evil. So the casual sarcastic or critical remark can inflict a lasting injury on another person. The well-timed encouragement or compliment can inspire someone for the rest of their life. And I'm going to share this example not to puff me up, but just to show actually what the simple thing in life can happen that can really last years. So in the news in the last few weeks, we know that COVID is, it's like I was going to say celebrating 5 years. It's not celebrating, but it's like 5 years when lockdown first began. That was the last week or so. And I had a message from a friend of mine. We don't keep in touch that often, but we were just in conversation via WhatsApp. And basically, my last message, I said, you know what, he lives in Guernsey. I said, you know, you're welcome to come and stay with us anytime if you're ever in the area. Okay, and he came back and he said, thank you for your kind offer. That is much appreciated. We've had some good times together. I don't know if he was going to cut me off then. We've had good times together, and all your good work and prayers during COVID, I will never forget. Okay, so it's 5 years ago, and you might think, well, he never forget. He's a police officer, and in an island that has a population of 60,000 people, he was given the role of going around the care homes if anybody had passed away. And he'd have to go in with a full PPP outfit and gear, and he'd be the police officer that had to record the death and such like. Okay, so it was a very lonely, isolated job. He'd never done that kind of thing before, and he didn't really know what he was stepping into. And as a friend, I was just, when he said that's what he was doing, I reached out to him. And over the phone, because obviously we weren't allowed to see each other, we spoke about it, chatted it through, I encouraged him and prayed with him. And I'd kind of forgotten about that, because in life you kind of chat to friends and, you know, things happen and you just move on, yeah? But that message came through in the last week or so, and I just suddenly thought, wow, what encouragement or can I pray for you does to people. Never underestimate what you can do in people's lives, okay? And you might think, well, I'm not really a talker, or I can't really stand at the front with a microphone. You know, those things can really kind of plant lies in your life. It can be a message, it can be a phone call, it can be over a cup of coffee. Whatever it is, use your tongue for good, and you can speak truth and love and encouragement. And you may feel that I don't have the words to use when I pray. You can keep the prayer really, really short. But when I hear someone says, I'm praying for you, what does that do to me? Do I get discouraged? Absolutely not. I'm encouraged. And I would say the same for you. Always offer up the fact that I'm for you and I'm with you. And I want to pray with you, or just keep going. If you want, I'm on the other side of the phone. If you want to give me a call, whatever it is. But let's use our tongue for good, to actually ensure that we are building others up. Because likewise, in the opposite end, if we speak lies and deceit and we speak about getting to kind of gossip and slander and all those kind of things, it just feeds this forest fire that destroys. We want to build up. That's what we want to do. So we want to follow the example of what Jesus encourages us to do, which is to follow him. And that's what James in his letter is pointing towards, is let's ensure that we speak truth, but let's speak truth in love. Let's use our tongues in a way that build up others, okay? So the next one on the screen, please, Jane, with worship. So we have in verse 9, I'll just read out the following verses as well, where it says, with the tongue we praise our Lord God and Father, and if we curse human beings who have been made in God's likeness, out of the same mouth come praise and cursing. My brothers and sisters, this should not be. With it we bless our God and Father, and with it we curse men who have been made to follow God. Out of the same mouth proceed blessing and cursing. My brothers, these things ought not be so. Does a spring send forth fresh water and bitter from the same opening? Can a fig tree, my brothers, bear olives, or a grapevine bear figs? Therefore, no spring yields both salt water and fresh. So obviously, James is giving these kind of opposites, okay? So, with it we bless God our Father, and with it we curse men. So the tongue can be used for the highest calling, which is to bless God, is to worship him. And it can also then be used for the lowest, which is to curse men. And obviously men means like all humans, okay? Men, women, children, whatever, okay? In those who are born again, it shouldn't be said that out the same mouth proceed blessing and cursing. All right. So here's the example in Scripture, and these are ones that if you're familiar again with the Word of God, you'll be familiar with these stories. Peter's tongue confessed Jesus as Messiah, okay, the Son of the living God, and then a little bit later on, he denied Jesus, cursing Jesus, swearing that he does not know him, denying him. John said, little children, love one another, and then he wanted to say the word to bring down fire from heaven upon a Samaritan village, okay? It's that kind of blessing, cursing. These things ought not be so. So our speech should be consistently glorifying God. We shouldn't use our vocabulary or one tone of speaking at church and a different one at home or on the job. So basically what that means is, you know, we come to church on a Sunday and then when we leave here, we can just go back to the way that we were in the rest of the week. And if you've heard anything here that would be mentioned so many times in this place, is that following Jesus isn't just about what we're doing in this room now, right now. Okay, it's not, oh, we've come to church. It's not this building. We are the church. And this is an opportunity one day in the week where we get to gather and worship corporately as a community, celebrating Jesus. But when we leave this place and go to be with our family or friends, go into our workplace or whatever else you've got going on in the week, it doesn't mean you suddenly become somebody different. You are a follower of Jesus 24/7. And so it's about us speaking and glorifying God, okay? And I know we get caught up in it and we say it's a time of worship, which we tend to illustrate that that's a time that we sing. And it's the easy way to say it, so I'm not going to start saying, can't use it like that. The important thing is, it's not just sung worship. You're worshiping right now if you're listening to what I'm saying. You're worshiping God in your own time when you're praying or just taking delight in God, even if you're not saying anything. So it's about actually thinking about how do we proclaim God in our day to day, okay? So these things ought to be so. So our speech should be, and I've gone through that before. So how do we tame the tongue? So I kind of alluded to this at the beginning. So as followers of Jesus, we have the gift of what? The Holy Spirit. Cool, I caught you out then, didn't you? You gave me all vague looks then. All right. And the Holy Spirit gave us, one of the things he gives us is self-control. So Galatians 5, verse 22 to 23. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, forbearance, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and what? All right, I want you to say it in a way that actually you really believe it, okay? So kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and what? Self-control, all right? So we don't rely on our own strength and ability, but we rely on the power and the presence of God in our own lives. Okay? There are so many times that I want to say something and then I think I need to bite my tongue. Okay? In fact, I'm just thinking of even this week, I had to try and usher out a guy that was heavily intoxicated in my workplace, and he refused to leave the building. And he said stuff right close to my face that I wanted to just say what I really thought. And actually, I even in that moment was just asking God, help me, just in that, just to ensure I don't lose it. And actually, in that moment, we ended up having to get the police, and he got dragged out of the building. And I think in those moments, it is tempting to say what we really think and what we feel. But actually, it is those moments that just even in that moment, and just say, God, help me to just ensure I don't say something that I'm going to regret. We can still speak life into very, very difficult situations. Now, I'm going to add something to the Bible. And it's something for us today that wouldn't have been in the time that James was writing this letter. Okay, so I was in Glasgow one of these days during the week, and I was on a busy train. It was full of people ranging from students to adults. I was listening to music, so I had my headphones on, and I was just looking around the carriage, and then you notice, which has become the norm in our society, which everyone is pretty much looking at their phones, scrolling, busy kind of sending messages, watching something, whatever was going on. And it got me thinking about the taming of the tongue in modern culture today, certainly in this part of the world. And I'm sure if James was writing this letter today, he would have included it in this, okay? So what he would have included is probably ears and fingers, all right? So what do you listen to? So what is it you're feeding your minds, especially in this world with headphones, kind of really zoned in, which is nothing wrong with that, by the way. What do you type? So with your fingers, and obviously then what do you speak about? Okay. So less and less people in this world, and certainly this part of the world, are verbally communicating with one another. We tend to agree. Yeah? It's more now of typing messages to one another. So I'll give you an example. I rarely speak to my two brothers that are still in Guernsey. All right? Yet, through WhatsApp, we are in contact with one another almost every single day, sending each other memes or like stories that we've seen, video clips, whatever, okay? And just considering our day-to-day, what we fill our brains with and what we type can just be as encouraging or as destructive as what we say, okay? I want to add that in, and I think if James was here today writing that letter, he'd be adding that in. So you might think, I don't really speak to many people. Well, you are communicating with people more than probably what you think. All right. So be careful what you say. Be careful what you type. All right. And be careful what you feed your mind and your heart with. All right. Because that will come out in some way. So how do we kind of land this and apply this in my life and your life today? Well, on the screen is Proverbs chapter 18, verse 21. All right, and we've got the New King James Version and then the Message paraphrase version, all right? So death and life are in the power of the tongue, and those who love it will eat its fruit. And I do love the kind of the Message, like what they wrote here. Words kill, words give life. They're either poison or fruit. You choose. It is all about choice. Are we open to God using us to build others up? Or do we slip into our old way of lives where we just want to think about ourselves and how I can get an upper hand on somebody, or how I can make sure that, you know, I can gossip about something? No, let's be different to what the world says. And let's be a people, followers of Christ, that are full of self-control, because that's what the Spirit of God is living in us and gives us. Because at the end of the day, we have a choice. We have a choice to curse or to bless. We have a choice to gossip or to proclaim truth. And we have a choice to discourage or to encourage. And we have a choice to knock down or build up. Think about how we use our tongue. And as we head back into a time of sung worship, do you like the way I add that in? Yeah, sung worship, yeah? I think actually this is a great opportunity to just sing truth, like Tom led us already this morning. Use our mouths to praise God. Use our hands to physically express our worship. And if you're new to this, why people lift up their hands, it can just be just an exuberant way of just saying, I just want to praise God. For some people, or sometimes in worship, it can be, I just want to surrender my lives again. And it's just like, I come empty-handed. But yes, let's use our ears to hear the words, to feed our hearts and minds that shape our lives. Can I ask if you're able to, why don't we stand? And as we just, I just want to pray for us. If you want to, why don't you just open up your hands and just be in a place of, this isn't a time where it's to, if you feel yourself like that you've been saying stuff that's been unhealthy this week, it's not about condemning you. This is about where God just invites us again to just say, lay these things down. His arms are always open, always ready to welcome. And so, Holy Spirit, I just pray for each one of us. I want to pray over the children that have gone into another part of the building and even off site this morning. Lord Jesus, we just ask that for each one of us, that you just remind in our hearts the fact that you're the God that loves us. And you invite us to run back into your arms this morning afresh. And Father, if we've been using our tongues in ways that haven't been building up, Lord, I just pray that you just help us lay those things down. You might even just want to say to God this morning, Lord, I'm just sorry that those things have slipped into my life. But I don't want those things to hang on to me anymore, because I know your grace is new every morning. And Heavenly Father, I just want to pray for each one of us that help us to have that self-control. Help us to look out for people that are hurting, that may have had words stuck to them even as they were a child. Lord, let us go into that warfare about words, and let us speak truth and encouragement to build others up. Hey, maybe there's some people in here that have been a bit rusty, that haven't used the prophetic for a while, that actually is to say, Lord Jesus, this morning help me into the next week and the week and for the rest of my life to start exercising that a bit more of speaking life, the word of God into people's lives. Because Lord, we believe in miracles, and we believe that lives can be transformed, and you use us in ways that, Lord Jesus, we can bring encouragement and point people towards you. Oh, thank you, Heavenly Father. So I ask, as we just come into this time of just singing together, Lord Jesus, that you will speak new things into our lives. So in turn, that we can go and use our tongues to proclaim the love of God to others. Thank you, Heavenly Father.